Today's episode of J-Rock Concerts, the podcast, is brought to you by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. Go to HelloFresh.com/50JRodConcerts and use code 50JRodConcerts for 50% off, plus 15% off the next 2 months.
A musical adventure, new artists, new musicians, and everyone involved in the world of music. Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee, this is J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, with your host, Jamie Rodriguez. Let's find out what we have this episode.
And welcome to a new episode of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Halfway through April, festival season is around the corner. Hope you guys are having a good spring season. And we continue our coverage of the Midland Cruise, which we were in earlier this month. And really stoked for this episode, guys. Incredible band that have already left a legacy that is very, very important in music. Silverada, ladies and gentlemen. Previously known, you may know them as Mike and the Moonpies. They recently changed their name, which was like a very big topic of conversation when it happened about a month ago. But they're Silverada now. And my God, what a band, founded by Mike. Of course, of Mike and the Moonpies, Mike Jaime. He was still in his early 20s when he formed the band in Austin. And, you know, they started, you know, cutting their teeth in 5-hour sets in Austin's dance halls. And the sound eventually caught on. It was something so different that it spread to the rest of America. And now it's spreading to the rest of the world. Now they've recorded at Abbey Road Studios. That's where they did Cheap Silver and Solid Gold Country with the help from the London Symphony Orchestra. They've played the Grand Ole Opry. They're all over. And the band members are awesome. Drummer Taylor Englert, guitarist Caitlin Rutherford, Omar Oyoke, and steel guitarist Zachary Moulton, who we have most of them here on the show. So enjoy the episode, guys. We talked to them about halfway through the cruise. They had just done an incredible show the day before that left people's minds blown. So just to give you some context. But yeah, welcome to a new episode. Enjoy this episode with Silverada on J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Look at you guys. Right? The most amazing kickoff to a cruise that I've ever... I mean, I've only done 3 of these, but goddamn. I feel like the thing could have turned right back around.
I would have been cool with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that
attention passengers.
It's over.
It's all downhill from here.
But in all seriousness, Mike, and for everybody, I feel like the whole name change thing is like past. And I say that like as is the most beautiful complimentary way. I feel like with, you know, obviously you guys were nervous. It was a big, big move, obviously. I feel like people just kind of like, you know what? We respect it. We love it. The music is like getting better. And it's like a non-issue.
Yeah, I think the initial shock is starting to wear off with people. And we've pretty much, you know, now we've released 2 songs under the name. Yeah. I think people are probably a little comforted by the fact that it hasn't like completely changed everything, you know? I don't know. I mean, we felt pretty good about it right off the bat. And I knew there was going to be some naysayers or whatever, you know, about it. But I think everybody's figured it out, dude. Everybody's cool with it. You know, I'll still deal with the formerly Mike and the Moonpies thing for a while, you know what I mean? And that's fine with us, you know? We anticipated all those things, yeah.
I love it.
And people are talking about us, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like a... Even if, you know, they're still talking about the name change, it's like, hey...
I mean, our name's out there.
They're still the same guys, so they're still talking about us.
Yeah. But guys, you know, I've been listening to you guys a couple of weeks out, hardcore, was, you know, preparing for this, and the new songs... Like, they really are, like, next-level great. And I mean that, like, obviously your old stuff is amazing, but I love the new Silverada thing. And I almost feel like when I was thinking about all the great bands that I love, like U2 or the bands that have longevity, they did, at some point, kind of, like, take a leap of faith in their career, even and risk what people knew them sonically for. Was that like easy for you guys?
I felt like we all wanted to, you know. I think that there was a moment where we all knew we had to kind of jump at the chance to take a step to evolve the band and evolve what we're doing. Yeah. And I wouldn't say anything like a burnout or anything like that. Just like we wanted to keep creating, you know, and keep seeing how far we could take it, you know, yeah. And kind of throw away the rule book a little bit.
I think, you know? Another cool thing for us is like the fans that have been listening to our music for a while. I think once this new record comes out, it's just like the natural musical progression of what we've already been doing. You know, the people that come to the live shows, that energy that you get on the live setting, we're also putting that much, you know, care and love into the studio aspect of it.
Yeah.
So just musically where we were at, you know, from the previous records to where we're going, it's just it just feels like the natural progression.
Sure.
For us musically.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add there?
And I'm just like speaking on the leap of faith thing.
Yeah.
It, to me, like personally, it's helped me in my life. Like, you know, just like, kind of jumping out there. I'm the newest member of the band.
Sure.
Kind of did that to join the band. I had a kid and Mike asked me to be in the band and it was kind of like shocking, but it was like one of the best decisions I've ever made.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, and the band started like that, like with a leap of faith. Like when you were playing, you know, those honky tonks in Texas, man, like you've talked about it. Like that was like, that you know, you didn't know what kind of you were doing, but that it was... that something was gonna come out of it.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't know what we were chasing. You know, we just wanted to play around. You know, it was always like a building a spiral. Yeah. It was like we wanted to start here, play these. There was like a handful of bars we wanted to play, a handful of clubs we wanted to play. Then we knocked that out. Then it was okay. Well, let's take it out of Austin, and then let's take it out of Texas. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's always just like the next step. That's right. That's right.
But did you guys know? Because I was thinking about. It's like you guys are like the Mount Rushmore of like you're in the Mount Rushmore really of like a genre that didn't exist 10 years ago and is now like growing and growing and growing. When you guys like were starting and when you were listening to them when you were not in the band and Omar and all that stuff, did you guys know like, hey, I don't know what the hell this is, but like there's something like special?
Definitely. I mean, what's really cool that you asked that question, because there's like different eras of what is this band. And like when I joined, I also play steel guitar, and I was a big fan of Zach's playing and like the sound that they were creating as the original unit.
Yeah.
And then I came in, and obviously, you know, when I came in, Steak Night came out, and that was just like a record that really put the whole band on the map. And then 8 months into the band, we go into Abbey Road and we record Cheap Silver and Solid Country Gold. And that was this whole era of the band. And then Taylor comes in and we're about to release this new record. And, you know, we had other records in between, right? But, like, now Taylor comes in, we have this new record coming out under this new name, and it's just, like, the band is just... I've personally enjoyed watching them from the outside, to me being in it now and seeing where it's going.
Totally.
Because it's a really cool, like...
almost like a fan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I love... that's why I love being here. I love musically creating with these guys, and I'm always finding myself... like wanting to be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's cool.
Zach, I love seeing you play, man, because I see you like two times now. I saw you at Mile Zero once too. And you remind me of like Keith Richards in the sense that like he's like a groove man. Like maybe there's like some technically more advanced guitar players than Keith Richards, because he said it himself, but nobody does grooves like him. And I feel like, man, you're like a groove man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we just get in there and the right parts, and you know, hopefully some
yourself short.
Everybody has their own. One of the biggest things about this band is everybody has their own style and their own way to do it. I mean, we're kind of a character driven band. You know, everybody is independently, you know, their own person and their own artist. You know what I mean?
It's interesting to say that, Mike, because when I see you perform, I feel like you're one of the best frontmen out there.
Thanks.
And you like. And I know this could sound weird, but like, did you like ever practice that when you were like a young adult? Like, I could see Mike in front of like a young mirror, kind of just like, like practicing your cool dog or something.
No, I never did that. No, I mean, I think so. I think we played so much, you know. It was like we continuously learned how to do it. You know what I mean? It was like working the bar circuit and having the job of keeping people interested for 4 hours or whatever was something we all had to figure out how to do.
And we all played in our own like different projects before this, so we all are like have the experience of doing the 4 hour gigs, you know, all weekends and like when I was coming up, I was seeing a bunch of Steve Harris of Iron Maiden videos, and then that's that when I was playing bass, that's what I saw, just a bunch of Steve Harris running around the stage, and that's what I always wanted.
And look at you now.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah. Sorry.
Man, but you know, it's funny you say that, the 4 hour gigs and all that, because you guys are one of the hardest working bands too, in music. And I wanted to ask you guys about that work ethic. I know Mike, your dad obviously was in the rodeo, mm-hmm. and you were like a little, you know, just following him around and seeing that.
Right.
Did that play a part when you were like 11 and 10 and you're seeing these guys hustle?
Yeah, I mean, I think I learned a lot from watching really professional guys do it all the time, you know, and I was really close to a bunch of those guys and guys that worked it, you know, got like they weren't necessarily superstars or whatever, but they were a working band, you know. And that kind of work ethic is translated, I think, to this. I didn't realize for a long time that when I was a little kid that you could just do this without being a superstar. You know what I mean? You could do it as a legitimate career path. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think that changed the game for me when I realized that, oh man, all you really got to do is work hard at it. You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. Well, guys, I know you guys got a lot going on. Zach, take me to that time that where you guys realized that you guys had magic in a bottle. Was it like a practice session all these years ago? When did you guys, was there a moment that all you were together that you're like, this is good?
Hour on the hour.
In the studio. Or it still hasn't happened?
I mean,
it always happens. It happens all the time.
I've been at this band for almost 15 years. It's
right.
Happening. You know, we hit these little like landmarks. It seems like every year there's been something that's like, you know, a tour that went well, an album comes out. Steak Knot, obviously, like we were talking about, was one of the big like turning points, I think. And but I mean, I go back and listen to old stuff all the time, and I mean, we try to keep having those moments, I think, you know. We push ourselves musically, like
yeah.
The new album, the past, you know, we've always pushed ourselves musically. We've always tried to get in and try to figure out and make things different while still keeping our thing, you know. And like I think back to when we were rehearsing for like Mockingbird, I remember that we had a rehearsal space in Austin, and I remember like sitting there. That was like the first one I think where we really like sat down and put these songs together and like did our thing, like really did it together, and it came out really good. I think Mockingbird is like, I mean, I think that's kind of like before its time almost, like some of the stuff
yeah.
down there is like crazy. Like it's, and we've always taken, in my opinion, you know, from what we do, we've always taken and we're trying to push it and get better and do new things. But I think every record that we put out has a little bit of the other stuff in it. Like this new record, it has like bits of Steak Knot in it. It has bits of One to Grow On in it. It has bits of Cheap Silver. Like there's little things that we've just like, you know, we're like a seasoned cast iron, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, and it's just getting better and better.
I love it.
So,
well, guys, let me leave you with this, Mike. The community of fans that you have, I mean, just in research alone, man, that's something special. And it's people say right now the music industry for artists is hard and all that, and it is. And what people aspire to is just like what you got, like just a taste of this beautiful community. Because it's not even, I wouldn't even call them fans, it's like a family that you guys have.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that, man, and how you've been able to just grow it, foster it, continue the trust, and just open communication, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that our fans, they're really, you know, they love us, but I think they love each other, too. I mean, it's like, it's everyone together, they talk to each other, everybody knows each other,
yeah.
You know what I mean? We know them, you know? It's, they've got our backs, and I think, you know, the confidence that gives us really helps, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We know that, like when we were going to do this, I wasn't concerned about losing any of those people because they all understand us and know us personally and know what we're striving for. And I think that we all want to rise to the top together.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? So I think having our fan base and the Mockingbirds and stuff like that has really given us a lot of confidence and a lot of ability to do what we want.
Well, guys, thank you for what you guys are doing. I think through your sound, you're creating a changing state, an emotional state in people. through hard times, good times, and that is something that is sorely needed and wanted. So thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
And appreciate you guys coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast. Thank you for tuning in.